The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ruth Wallisoff.
Hi,
it's been a while since I've seen you, Ruth.
Yes.
So it's always, you know, that's one thing about this show. The co-hosts are wonderful. So I haven't been around, and then there's so much time in between each co-host that it's so nice to get together again. Our first guest today is Barbara Melman, and I've met Barbara, but more than meeting her, I've heard about Barbara. And she does a program, Technology for the Terrified, through Project Independence, and it is one of the most well-attended, demanded program in the Project Independence lineup. And it really is, because Barbara takes the time to really help you understand how to navigate today's technological maze, which is crazy. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
I have to start this off. We'll talk about different programs and stuff that you do. How did you get involved in this?
I got involved, first of all, because I got old. You know, and I worked for Apple. I was many things. I was a school librarian.
You worked for Apple.
Yes.
Because whenever I'm in there, everybody is very young.
They are. They're children. So I was an advertising copywriter. Then I was a high school librarian. But when I was an advertising copywriter, I was given a Macintosh computer in 1986. They were first introduced in 84. I got it in 86. And I fell in love. And no matter what I did, I always thought one day I want to work for Apple. So when I decided that I didn't want to be a newspaper columnist anymore, which I did part-time, I decided to apply to Apple, and you do it online.
Wow, okay.
So I went online, and you had to upload a cover letter. Upload means I had to write something, and I had to put it on their website. Uh-huh. So I wrote this cover letter, and the first thing I said, I didn't write a conventional letter. I said, I want to work for Apple, and here are seven reasons why you would hire me. Number one, I'm not 12. So your point, Ruth, goes right to that.
Right, right.
So I got hired. I got hired in 1 week, and I helped open the store in Manhasset. I was in the team that opened that store.
Okay. Absolutely.
So, and I worked for them for 6.5 years.
I did in that store.
Right. And what eventually began to happen was, and you can't see this because this is radio, but people would walk into the store and they would say, point to me, because they'd see this old person, and they'd say, I want her. And the reason they would come to me was because I knew their language and I knew what their challenges were. And I worked there for 6.5 years, and I was promoted to expert, and I loved it. And when I retired because I wanted to travel. And in my travels, you know, as you're walking along looking at the scenery, I started thinking, what am I going to do with my life now? I'm not going to travel 365 days. And I started thinking of helping seniors learn how to use technology. I think it's really, really, really important, and it's a mission for me.
I think you deserve a very big thank you.
Thank you.
Because everybody should be technologically savvy.
Absolutely. So with Project Independence, you know, I get the newsletter, The Pioneer, that gets sent out to all seniors in the town of North Hempstead. And I always threw mine away because I didn't need the services. And then I thought, wait a second, I can offer a service. So I found Judy Bosworth's email. Judy Bosworth is the town supervisor. And I sent her an email. She answered me the same day. She sent it on to Nancy Mizrahi, who's the program director. Nancy contacted me. I told her what I wanted to do. I sent her an outline of workshops I'd like to do. And I've been doing them now every month for a couple of years.
How do you decide on the topics for each of the workshops?
I decide on the topics based on what I think is important for seniors. For the first four are all beginner, you know. Hattie, your responsibility.
Do you have a beginning semester?
I do. Yeah, and we repeat. We do repeat them. But the first one, we start with vocabulary because people don't even know the words. You know,
right. That's important. You said upload, and I noticed you explained what
right,
it was.
Exactly.
Because if you talk too fast, you're lost. The person to see, a young person
and
would
I
be
lost. And I
think
you speak slowly, so that's a big,
right.
good for seniors, too.
Right, exactly, because we hear slowly.
Right.
So there are these four beginning, but then one of the most important workshops I give is how to find reliable health information. You know, because you're a senior, like it or not, you're not going to be as healthy as you were when you were 20 years old.
Right.
You're going to have issues. And you need to be your own advocate. You need to be able to talk to your doctor and say, yes, I know you're prescribing this, but I read this on the internet. And I'm concerned, and here's why I'm concerned. So you can't just go to the internet and, you know, Google. You all know Google, I think, you know, and search for information. You have to make sure you're on a reliable website. Are you on the Mayo Clinic, the National Institutes of Health, you know, or are you on some Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, feel-good site?
Right, right, right. 100%. And those, you know, even those, yeah, you, if you're looking at one of these MD sites,
right,
it's just a guide.
Exactly.
You know, you never take that and say, oh, this is what I have, and don't go to the doctor. If you're not feeling
so
well, you
correct.
Go to the doctor,
you have
but you're
the
right.
course planned out completely?
I have a whole bunch of courses planned out. So I have that. Then I have travel information. There's no reason, if you're 75 years old, that you can't travel. There's all kinds of opportunities for senior travel. And, you know, I mean, realistically speaking, I mean, next week I'm going to be 77. So my goal is to live...
Happy pre-birthday.
Thank you. So my goal is to live to 100. The fact is, I've only got 23 years left. I want to do something.
You want to make them work. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, and I do not want to sit home and wait.
Well, you know what it is, too? You have to accept it. Each year or each 5 or 10 years, it changes dramatically. 77,
right.
50 years ago,
right.
If you weren't dead, you were sitting in a rocking chair not moving.
Absolutely.
77, here you are on the radio, you drove here, and whatever you do in the afternoon, you're doing it.
Exactly.
So you're as old or as young as you want to be. And nowadays, there's so many opportunities that, and nobody judges anybody. You know, years ago, it was like, oh, look at that old man, look at that old lady.
Right.
Now it's not. You're vital. I mean, and look what you're doing. All the programs that Project Independence does, and you're a teacher at this point. So at 77, who thought you'd be teaching?
Well, I was a teacher. I was a high school librarian. School librarians are teachers, though most people don't realize
that. I didn't realize that.
You have to have a teaching degree.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I had
yes.
no idea.
Yes. So you.
I didn't know that either. But
yeah.
I was a teacher, too.
Yeah.
Elementary school.
But you didn't obviously go to the library.
It.
Come on, Ruth.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I taught 5th and 7th grade, and then I got my master's in library science, and then I went on uh-huh. to teach in the library, which I love. And I used to do teacher training. I used to teach them in technology because, you know, technology has only come into the schools in early 2000, not that long ago.
I agree. We part of the work I do, we do pension plans for schools, and over the last 15 years, we've gone from those chalk, you know, a blackboard
right.
with chalk to these white screens. The video is coming out of the ceiling. It's amazing how, you know, any school that's being re-upped or whatever expression is, excuse me, can't think this morning. The technology part is unbelievable. The teachers just pushing buttons.
Well, there were no technology teachers when I started.
Okay.
The librarians were the go-to people for technology.
We had a room in the basement next to the lunchroom where there were computers, and every class went to the computer room once a week.
Well, we didn't have that in New York City. That's where I was.
This is in Queens.
Oh, so that's New York City. Yeah,
right.
Well, we didn't have it in the school I taught in. I was at Andrew Jackson, the old Andrew Jackson High School. And I was the technology go-to person.
No, and the whole thing is, too, also, which you have to accept, and that's why it's so significant for seniors. I have a bunch of grandchildren. And
how many do you have?
I have six now.
Wow.
The 8-year-old, the 5-year-old, and the 4-year-old have no problem. They take the phone.
Right.
They're the ones that know my code, you know, my password. I give it. I don't really care. They can do it. My wife says, "What's the code?" I said, "You don't remember? Give it to me, Grandma." In they go, and they can swipe. I mean, you got to watch them, which their parents do. Just don't give them the phone. Because you make a mistake. Like, you have apps and different things we'll talk about. You know, you can type in a few letters, but one letter wrong, you can take a child in a different area, and all of a sudden he's looking at something he shouldn't be looking at.
Okay, so one of the things you should know about if you don't already know, certainly on an iPhone, I don't know if it's true on Android phones.
No, I have an iPhone.
Okay, but on Apple
I
phones...
I have an iPhone, too,
you
but
have...
I'm not smart enough to know how to use it.
You have...
It's true.
You have something called parental controls. And you can activate those parental controls. You can prevent the kids from buying stuff because there are a lot of apps. Apps are these little applications that allow you to play a game or something like that. And it says in really teeny mouse type, in-app purchases. What the kids do is they play a game and then they get to a certain level and then a little window comes up saying, "Do you want to continue to the next level?" And the kid goes, "Yeah." And the parent's card gets charged $5. And when that first started, we had people coming into the Apple store hysterical because their kid had charged up $300 worth of in-app purchases.
Wow.
So that has now changed. And the first thing I teach parents who are buying for their children or grandparents is how to activate the parental controls.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I mean, I don't pay attention to it because when they have it, you know, I'm usually with them, but I don't do anything on it.
Well, you should activate the parental
controls. No, I will. Absolutely.
You're a member of Project Independence.
Yeah.
And a fellow senior. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed at how good you are at technology. Because most people, children, are very good because they grew up with
it.
Right. So you must be a handy person, or you were always interested in machinery?
No, never. Until I started working.
She was a mechanic, and she was working under the cars one day. So I need something a little bit lighter to do.
I started working for Life magazine, okay? And I walked into my office. I was hired as promotion manager to write promotion material. And on my desk is this beige box tiny little 8-inch screen. It was called a Macintosh, whatever that was. And my boss showed me how the keyboard works and how it shows up on the screen. And I looked at him. I said, "Please get me my IBM Selectric." So he brings me the typewriter. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy with the typewriter.
Right.
But he said I had to learn it. So that I stayed late. And I hear some voices in the corridor, and I go looking, and I see in one of the offices another writer, and she's got a document on the screen, and it's formatted, and some things are in bold and indented and italics. Oh, how does she do that? And I went into her office, and I asked her, and she showed me these things called pull-down menus, and she showed me how to change the look of a document. Ran back to my office, started playing with it, and next day I said to my boss, "Take
the
typewriter, I'm done."
You spent the whole night there.
Yes, I loved it.
No, once you can, I agree with you there, though. Once you figure out how it's done, you can't.
Yeah.
It's the silliest thing in the world going back and forth, and, you know, especially trying to type something when you can just make a mess, delete half of it, start again, copy and paste it, but it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And the senior has
to have a lot of patience.
The senior has to have the patience, but in the end, it makes sense. I'm doing it, say, from community. I mean, I have to do it for work.
Yeah.
Well, that's a motivation.
Well, one of the things I teach, which is really important, is online banking.
That I don't do.
So important. Do we have to wait?
No, you can keep going a little bit.
All right. Let's say you get a check for $5,000, okay? It's snowing. It's icy. It's dangerous to leave the house. You need to deposit this check.
And what we're going to do is tell them how to deposit it when we come back. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.